For many are called, but few are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today's beautiful readings from the Ephesians and St. Matthew's Gospel remind us of the great privilege, my dear friends, that we have. We have been invited to the marriage feast of heaven. Heaven is a marriage feast. The Lord compares it to this because probably there's no other thing that we like better than a feast, and of course the marriage feast is a happy occasion, but especially because it's going to be our marriage feast. Everybody is invited to the marriage feast, and it's the marriage feast between God and man, God and each individual soul. Christ is the bride, we are the groom, as it were, or vice versa, whichever. So it's the most wonderful thing how this beautiful feast, this feast that we're going to have at the end of our lives, the marriage feast, and that's what we have here today. Don Columba Mamiyan, blessed Don Columba Mamiyan, calls it the marriage feast that God the Father gave to his Son when his Son became man. In other words, Jesus wedded human race to the church. He became our spouse, and it's his wedding feast when he took upon our humanity. So the divine Son takes on our humanity in a sort of spousal relationship. This is the hypostatic union, the union of the divine and human nature of Jesus. And it's like a spousal, the spousal of him with our humanity. Pope Saint Gregory the Great comments on the marriage feast, quote, that the king made a marriage for his son, in that the mystery of the incarnation, and of course the incarnation is Jesus becoming man, incarnate, carnal, in flesh, and the word was made flesh, and God became man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's the incarnation. It's the greatest mystery of our faith, because if Jesus Christ is not God, then he's just another man. Why are we here? But he is God. He became man, and in the Virgin Mary's womb, and that's what St. Gregory is telling us. By the mystery of the incarnation, he united the church to him. That means the church, all us members of the church. The womb of the Virgin was the nuptial chamber of that bridegroom of whom the psalmist says, he has set his tabernacle in the sun, and he as the bridegroom cometh out of his bride chamber. My dear friends, that is a beautiful image of we have here, and it's the truth. In reality, the bridal chamber is the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, where God was united to man. And that's why the Annunciation is such a beautiful mystery. You can never plumb the depths of the Annunciation. Our Lady told us that in one of the commentaries in the book In Sinu Jesu, how for all eternity she will glory in the Annunciation when she was asked to be the Mother of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Right? You shall conceive and bear a son and call him Jesus. And Mary said, how shall this be? The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the child shall be called the Son of the Most High. And then she said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. She glories in this, and how our lovely Our Lady was so generous and so humble. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. This is why we need to pray the rosary over and over and over again, meditating on the great mysteries of our faith, how Mary became the mother of God, how Jesus became her son in her womb. God Almighty was born of a woman. St. Alphonsus tells us that no religion, any pagan religion, never had a God becoming a man. Of course, they were all fake, of course, made up by men. But our true religion has a God becoming man. This is why it's so important for us to realize this, how Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why we're here today. We are witnessing this great Mass. And as we'll see later on, when this incarnation, Jesus, by the way, is incarnate again on our altars. When I say, this is my body and this is my blood, God becomes man again. It's the second incarnation right on our altar at this Mass. God is truly there in the host and the blood. And this is part of the same mystery of the Annunciation, the incarnation. And this is why we need to pray this rosary and go over and over these mysteries to understand them, because we have been called to a great vocation, to be Catholics, to be Christians, to be brides of Christ, as it were. Brides of Christ. I got it right this time, I hope. We're the bride and Jesus is the groom. We're brides of Christ, and for all eternity we will be with him in a spousal relationship. In this world, there is nothing closer that meets the closeness of a man and a woman in marriage. They are one flesh. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and it shall become one flesh. So Jesus is one flesh in the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Word was made flesh. And we will be one with God. God could become his spouses, as it were. We are his brides. He is the groom. And for all eternity, we will be in this relationship, the same relationship that a man and a woman have in the as husband and wife. Nothing closer. And we will be doing this for all eternity. That's why, in a way, marriage is so beautiful, because it's predicated, it's based upon the hypostatic union, the incarnation, God becoming man. And this is the most wonderful thing about our faith. And this is why marriage is holy. And this is why it cannot be broken up. God, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, because this is a holy relationship. This is the Word made flesh. This is one flesh, just like the hypostatic union. You can never split up God, the Son, and his humanity and his divinity. He is one flesh. That being said, my dear friends, what do we need to do? We need to live good lives. We need to be in peace. This is why Our Lady said, men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. We need the bond of peace with all humanity so that we can be in the state of grace and gain this marital relationship with God for all eternity. St. Paul tells us this in the Ephesians, which comes before today's reading, but it's all part of it. With all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body and one Spirit. That's the way we should be. One body and one Spirit with all other members of our family and all other members of the human race. The bond of peace is the absolute requirement for all those who wish to be united to Jesus Christ. One body and one Spirit. This is the bond of peace in this world and in preparation for the heavenly marriage feast. So in order to be in the marriage feast, my dear friends, we need a bond of peace with all people. We need to love everybody. Love everybody. Love means to wish them good and to do good to them. And then we'll be in the state of grace, as we'll see later on, the man who didn't have his wedding garment on and was chucked out of heaven, not heaven, but out of the marriage feast. This is why it's also important for us to be clean of heart. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. We will never see God in eternity if we're not clean of heart. And we will see God both now and in any eternity if we are. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. This is why Our Lady says it's so important not to offend God by sin. This is why she said most souls go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. And this is why she also said at Fatima, many marriages are not good, they're not of God. And she also told Sister Lucia that the final battle between the devil and the Blessed Mother will be over marriage. And that's exactly what's happening in our world today. Marriage. This is where we're having all the trouble in our world. So many divorces, so many people not getting married, so many people remarrying without the benefit of the sacraments. My dear friends, all of these will exclude you from the kingdom of heaven because you do not have the bond of peace. Continuing this bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit is, according to Don Geringer, the principle of all believers. Quote, it is the crowning of the sublimest vocations in the order of grace, as well as the foundation and reason of all God's commandments. So truly, so indeed, that if we are commanded to abstain from lying and to speak the truth to them that live with us, the motive is that we are members of one another. So as members of one another, we need to have a bond of peace, which means no hatred, no fighting, no lying, no dishonesty, no stealing, no robbing, no using one another for our own selfish purposes. And then we will go to the heavenly marriage feast. This is today's gospel. The marriage feast and the parable of the Great Supper, two parables, one in Luke, the Great Supper, and the marriage feast, both say similar things. However, this particular parable in St. Matthew's Gospel today is a little bit more expressive of the whole essence of the marriage feast and what's happening to these people. And the king is giving a marriage feast, and he's sending his emissaries out to invite all to the marriage feast. And that's what's happening today in our world. We are all being invited to the marriage feast to join the church. And when we join the church, we are being joined to Christ as his spouses, and we are being invited to the marriage feast. This is the marriage feast. It begins here on now on earth with baptism, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is why God, Jesus, sent his apostles out to the whole world. Going therefore, baptizing them and teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that does not believe shall be condemned. My dear friends, that's an invitation to the marriage feast. So you were all invited to the marriage feast at your baptism. You didn't know this, of course. I didn't know that. We were children, babes, as it were. And many of us may not even realize it now. But it is. It's our baptism into Christ, where we're going to be united with Jesus Christ in the life of sanctifying grace. And we will be entitled, when we die because of this, to go to the heavenly banquet. If you take a look at today's gospel, it's very sad in a way. How many people accept the invitation? Very few. They're too busy. I have got this to do and I got that to do. And they refuse to come to the marriage feast. And not only that, my friends, what else do they do? When the emissaries come, they kill them. They kill them. Think about that. And that's sort of what happens in today's world. When the emissaries of Christ go out to the world and invite the people to come to the church, to the marriage feast, what do? They kill them. In many countries, many, many people are martyred for the faith. These are emissaries of Christ, and they kill them. They do not want to participate. They only want to live in this world. Don't bother us. We're having a good old time. We don't want to hear about your God and your church. All right? We have our own religion, etc., etc., etc. And that's a refusal. So here we are in this parable. We are the same as those people in the parable who kill the emissaries of the king, the messengers. They kill them. And what does the king do? The king sends his army and destroys them. These people who commit deicide, as it were, and kill his son, this is what happens to them. This is what happened to the Jews. His blood be upon us and our children. And not a stone shall be left upon a stone. And Jerusalem fell in 70 AD. Over 1 million people were killed as punishments for killing Jesus Christ. Crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. And that's exactly what happened. That's why in the stations we see today, Jesus says, do not weep for me, but weep for your children. Because he knew in the next generation, their children would be destroyed by the Romans. The greatest man-made disaster in the history of the world up until that time. All right, we may outdo them in a few years if we throw some more nuclear bombs around, but who knows. But that was a great disaster, the fall of Jerusalem. And it was payment for what they had done when they refused the marriage feast of the Son, when they cried, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. That's a refusal of the marriage feast. And how many people today say the same thing? I can't be bothered, I'm not going to church today, it's all a waste of time, there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. My dear friends, it's all nonsense, these people. Sad, very sad. Vanity of vanities, these people. All they do is live for this world and not the next. We have been called to the marriage feast, and this is what our happiness will be for all eternity, seeing God face to face as his beloved spouse. My friends, nothing is greater than that. Who can even imagine? We can't. We can't imagine what that is like. That's why St. Paul says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the mind of man what God has created for those who love him. Do you love him? If you love me, you keep my commandments. And if you love me, my Father will come to you and abide with you. And we will take you to the marriage feast, the heavenly marriage feast, for all eternity. My dear friends, there's nothing better. And sadly, this particular parable has a denouement. A denouement is the unraveling at the end, the final meaning of it. One comes to the marriage feast and he doesn't have a wedding garment on. He's not baptized and he's not in the state of grace. And the master says to him, God says to him, friend, how come thou came to this marriage feast without a wedding garment? And what does he do? Bind him up, tie him up, and throw him into the exterior darkness. And in another place he says, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, my dear friends, for all eternity, for all those people who have refused the marriage proposal by God, who refused the Catholic Church, who refused to live according to the commandments. They will be in hell for all eternity. This is what Our Lady says. Many souls will go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices them for them. Right? And she says, most souls go to hell because of the sins of the flesh, sexual sins. And what do we have? Our world inundated. We have them all over the place. We have them in our hand when we use our phones and so on, and we commit sin upon sin. My dear friends, the devil's very tricky. I believe he's given us some of these inventions so that he can lead us all to hell. All right, who can resist him? It's very difficult. It's impossible without the grace of God. And this is why you need the rosary. This is why it's so important to save your soul. I think of what Jesus said of Judas. Better if that man had not been born. Think about all the souls in hell. And I say to you, better if they had never been born than to be in hell for all eternity. Fire and so on. The worm dies not, and the fire is never quenched. The worm of conscience. I could have saved my soul. I could have been in heaven. I could have been a spouse of Christ. If only I had done what I should have done. If only he had gone to church, if only he had kept the commandments, if only he had been chaste and pure. The worm dies not, and the fire is never quenched. My dear friends, those souls are misbegotten. Better if they had not been born than to have hell for all eternity. And I kid you not, and Our Lady showed the little children fires of hell. They were petrified. They said they would have died if Our Lady hadn't sustained them. This is what we need to think about. This is what we need to tell people. There is a hell, and if you don't behave yourself in this life, you'll go there. Sadly, when we could have been in heaven with God for all eternity. So let us pray and thank the Lord. Do all that we can to save our own soul and to save our souls of our others. And one of the best ways, my dear friends, is the family rosary. If you're saying the family rosary, that is a wonderful sign that you will save your soul, because Our Lady will take care of you. Those who love her rosary and those families that will pray the rosary, they will stay together in this world and they will stay together in the next, because the family that prays together stays together. God bless you.